The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, June 4th, 2021. Producing from a bootleg studio just outside of Boston is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. And I got to say, Taylor, two words of the day, foreign substances. It's all but official. The hammer is coming.
We've been anticipating that hammer, or maybe wondering if it would come at all. So I'm glad that there's clarification now, I guess, that something's coming, something's happening. I actually, I was putting the rundown together last night, saw that, you know, this was happening, and I was like, oh boy, another day of foreign substance talk. So hopefully they can crack down and we can move on from all this, because I certainly am ready to.
Yeah, Major League Baseball finally seems to be ready to be serious about this conversation, maybe because they've heard so much complaining from position players about the advantages the pitchers have. Before we get to that, and we're going to be speaking with Carl Ravitch today, we're going to have Todd Radom on for his weekly quiz. A really awful moment in yesterday's AAA game between the Norfolk Tides and the Durham Bulls, when in the eighth inning, Bulls pitcher Tyler Zombro was hit in the face by a line drive. He fell into convulsions on the mound. He was taken to a local medical facilities. And according to reports that I saw overnight, his condition, the last reported condition for him, is stable. So, you know, obviously our thoughts with Tyler Zombro and his family, and hope that, you know, he gets better as today goes along. Arizona Diamondbacks left-hander Madison Bumgarner was placed in the 10-day injured list on Thursday with inflammation in his throwing shoulder. This is a big concern for the Diamondbacks because he's got 3 years left on his deal, and it is expensive. In San Diego last night, the Mets, the Padres, and Fernando Tatis Jr. did it again.
Here's the 1-2. Tatis swings, hits it in the air, straightaway center deep. Williams going back, drifting at the wall. He leaps and he can't make the catch. It goes off his glove and over the fence. A home run for Fernando. Number 17. And the Padres take a 2-0 lead here in the third.
And the Padres would survive a late rally in that game and defeat the Mets. For Tatis, 17 homers this season, tying Ronald Acuna Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the most in Major League Baseball. He's also the first player ever, age 22 or younger, to hit as many as 17 homers in his first 40 games of a season. Earlier this week, we heard Paul Hembekides tell us that Jesse Winker is the best player nobody's talking about. They had a great moment yesterday.
Here's the right-hander's 3-1. Breaking ball, and Winker hammers it. Deep to right field, way back, and gone. Two-run home run for Jesse Winker just inside the foul pole and right, and the Reds are back on top. It's 3-2.
And they would win the game 4-2. That sound from 700 WLW. The Royals, the Twins. The Twins have been one of the disappointing teams in baseball. The Royals continue to play well. Salvi Perez is on a roll right now. This is him in the bottom of the fifth.
High drive down the right field line. Right fielder to the fence, looking up, and it's gone. Salvi goes oppo, and the Royals retake the lead 5-4.
Now the Twins would tie the score, and then in the bottom of the seventh inning, Andrew Benintendi was involved in the tiebreaker.
And the 1-0 pitch is swung on and lifted in the air left center field. And coming over from left is Larnick, and a collision out there, and the ball will drop. The throw goes to second, and it's wild, and here comes Dyson down from third. And the Royals take the lead on Minnesota's defense and Dyson's speed.
That sound from 610 KCSP. The Royals now two games over 500. White Sox rookie Andrew Vaughn went on the COVID-19 injured list, according to general manager Rick Hahn. He is asymptomatic. Arizona Diamondbacks analyst Bob Brenly is taking voluntary leave of absence to undergo sensitivity training after the comment he made about Marcus Stroman the other day. Brenly put out that in his statement, saying he apologized again for what he said. This was the Rays and the Yankees. Something happened with the Rays yesterday that hadn't happened in a long time.
And there's a fly ball into left. On the move is Phillips, and the Rays get the complete game and the victory. It's a 9-2 final, And Ryan Yarbrough goes the distance today.
How about that? The Yankees and the Rays split their series, and Yarbrough, in throwing a complete game in the last game of the series, snapped a streak of 731 consecutive games for Tampa Bay without a pitcher throwing a complete game, by far the longest in Major League Baseball history. The Red Sox, the Astros, and Christian Arroyo got a big hit for Boston in the top of the second.
Here's the payoff pitch, and he swings and drives one in the air to left field. This is deep. Back toward the wall it goes, and it is into the Crawford boxes. Three-run homer into the first row for Christian Arroyo, his first home run of the year, and the Red Sox lead it 3-0.
Joe Castiglione, WEI 93.7 FM. The Red Sox win 5-1. Again, this weekend, Sunday Night Baseball, Red Sox, Yankees from Yankee Stadium. And the big news yesterday, after repeated efforts by Major League Baseball to dissuade pitchers from using illegal substances to get a better grip on the ball and create more spin, the league is going to crack down on the practice by giving umpires more latitude. There are details that will be coming out here soon. Sources telling ESPN yesterday, Jesse Rogers did a report for ESPN on this yesterday. We've been talking about it a ton on the podcast in the last 9 days. MLB has gathered plenty of data after 2 months of collecting a random sampling of baseballs and shipping them to a third-party laboratory for inspection of foreign substances. This conversation has been boiling, especially among position players, and there are going to be major changes coming down the pike. Now, before we get to Carl and to Todd, if you're looking for world-class soccer, ESPN Plus is where to find it. The best teams, the biggest stars, and over 20 international leagues and tournaments. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. And check out First Take, Her Take with Charlie, Kimberly, and new co-host L. Duncan. Follow First Take, Her Take wherever you listen to podcasts.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, efoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting preventive.
All aboard. It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravitch.
Carl Ravitch, host of Baseball Tonight, play-by-play man for ESPN. And Carl, I know that along the way, as the Rabbit Train makes its way around the ESPN landscape in the next week, there are going to be a lot of conversations about foreign substances. We've been talking about it on the podcast for the last, it feels like, you know, the last 9 days hard, but a lot before that. And yesterday we found out why. What'd you think?
Not surprised. I spoke to people who were in the room, and I know the owners and everybody else that's involved with trying to make sure we get a little more offense in the game and less strikeouts recognize you gotta take away a weapon. And foreign substances have become a weapon in the battle against offenses. And for a group that's determined, this is a major step, and the crackdown is significant. And they believe, I think, that they have some suspects, and they're going to certainly keep an eye on them. And the Joe West move was just one of what is going to be many, unless, you know, these pitchers or these teams are smart enough not to try to beat the system, because they are very, very determined to get rid of foreign substances for pitchers.
So it seems to me that one of the interesting parts about this is the fact that, you know, we've seen in recent years the Players Association, Major League Baseball, at odds over a lot of issues. From what I understand, the Players Association is totally okay with this. Like, their feeling is, look, the rules on the book against using foreign substances. We've seen the game dramatically affected, pitching dominating. We see the lowest batting average in the history of baseball across the league, the highest strikeout rate. And so the union, I think, is going to stand by, because they're probably hearing it from a lot of their constituents, kind of what a joke this has become with the use of foreign substances.
Buster, it's not lost on people that when the players find themselves at odds with each other, because generally, and the two great examples are, of course, performance-enhancing drugs, in which not every player was using it, and the silent majority became more vocal, that you developed a cohesive plan between players and Major League Baseball. Now the larger group of players is aligned with Major League Baseball in an effort to clean up performance-enhancing drugs. Same thing with foreign substances for pitchers. A, the offensive players are not happy about it. And then B, there is a large subset of pitchers who are not participating in that, and frankly get a little tired of seeing pitcher A, B, and C end up becoming a better and more successful pitcher than me because they're using foreign substances. And that group, again, is got its back up and said, hold on a second. You're now, in a sense, taking money away from me and off my table, and you're not really as good as me. But because you're using illegal substances, well, I'm now going to take a stand, and I'm united with all the offensive guys and baseball. Therefore, we have this, which should become something that everybody can get behind, except those who benefit so dramatically from it.
And a general manager said this to me in early April, that there's, with so much of this, Carl, there are echoes of the 90s and steroid use, where the conversations among players, among staffers, was, can you believe, and they would fill in the blank, this guy who was a 220 hitter who had 10 home runs is suddenly jacking 30 homers. The conversations that people are having off the record, they're very specific. You hear the same names over and over and over and over again. And as you say, there's a lot of resentment toward those guys who've gone from being maybe subpar pitchers to being excellent pitchers. And I think that anger is absolutely fueling the crackdown.
It is. And look, the worst part of this to me is speculation. You as you just said, you can look at individuals who were decent pitchers that have become great. You can look at staffs that are historically, at least recent history, really, really good. And why? What have they figured out in City X that City Y hasn't figured out? Why do people want to go there? What happens when they get there? How do they radically improve? And then what do they leave with so that they can stay at the level that they reached when they were there? But the speculation part of it is unfair, because I'd like to give benefit of doubt, especially with teams or individuals who deny or cite others and say, how in the world did that happen? Or you can't do this, et cetera, without cheating. And as a result, well, I don't do that because that's cheating. Again, the speculation part of it stinks. And again, we get into a policing part of it. Drug testing, it's generally easier to uncover who's cheating because we do tests. We do blood tests, et cetera. When it comes to foreign substances, the old adage of cheaters always ahead of detective or police, well, that's the case here. So, where is foreign substance being put? How you know, how much of it can be sort of mitigated by, again, whatever. You know, again, they're generally a step ahead. So what do they do that really has prevented them from getting caught? You've seen the examples of, you know, what it was, pine tar or whatever type of concoction between rosin, et cetera. Pelican grip is another word we keep hearing nowadays. Is that that's the new weapon? Where do you hide it? Where do you put it? How is it going to be detected? Hey, I just saw this baseball and this has stuff. But, well, I didn't do that. That's the baseball I was given. That's not from me. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge. But once Major League Baseball says this is the deal, they're willing to accept that challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. I also have heard about spider tech adhesive being used by pitchers as well. Look, and there will be some pitchers who will say, great. Now, if you take away our foreign substances, that means that the baseballs will have that pool ball feel to it, that hitters might be more at risk. My response to that would be, Carl, hey guys, everybody who thinks that, you know, foreign substances are needed for pitchers to control baseballs, the number of hit batsmen has never been higher than it is in this day and age when there's, as we've talked about, a lot of foreign substance use being, going on around the sport. And I do think it's important for Major League Baseball to continue to have conversations about how to get a tacky feel on the baseball and not, not expect pitchers to go and find some sort of substance. So in terms of how this happens, Carl, I think you and I talked about it last week. It seems pretty simple to me. There are two things that have to happen. One, you just check every pitcher when they come into the game. You know, a guy goes out to start a game, home plate umpire meets him, say, hey, buddy, good to see you today. Show me your gloves. Show me your hands. Show me your forearms. And then you move on. And every relief pitcher who comes in, you ask that question the first time they step on the mound. But I think an important part of that too, Carl, is to also – tell all the teams, tell all the managers, put out a statement basically saying, look, once a pitcher has been checked, all bets are off. And this old gentleman's agreement that's gone on and on and on, we expect that to go away. And if you guys want to go and check and ask umpires to check pitchers, you should feel free to do that. And I suspect that, and I, based on my conversations, I think you probably have had similar conversations. You talk to people in organizations that are angry about this situation, and I wouldn't at all be surprised if some teams are the conversation in their clubhouse is, okay, guys, if you're using anything, stop doing it, because as of today, we're going to start checking opposing pitchers. If we think that we see a spike in spin rate in the middle of the game, or if we see some video that leads to some question about whether or not they've got something in their glove.
Look, there's a number of things that are going to happen. That conversation is going to be one where the manager, the pitching coach, heck, even a veteran pitcher on a staff is going to say, guys, whatever we've been doing, you've been doing, even if you haven't been doing it, stop it. Don't start it. You're going to then have police. You know, our buddy Eduardo Perez and others are great at recognizing a team signs. You don't think that there are going to be players and pitchers in the opponent's dugout who are spend the night staring at the pitcher. Literally, what are they doing after every pitch? The camera shifts to the batter and the ball at the plate. The pitcher is out of the screen. I don't know what the pitcher is doing after every pitch. Even if it's for a quick second when the ball is in play, he's not involved in the play. There are cameras everywhere. If you are going to fight this, you have a camera, and there are plenty of them trained only on the pitcher. And perhaps there's a way that the umpiring crew in New York can observe that camera as well as the instant replay cameras when needed to say, hey, pitcher X continues to rub the back of his neck. Pitcher X continues to touch his belt. Catcher Y continues to take that baseball before he throws it back. We notice that he touches the corner of his catcher's mitt. Again, think of the number of ways that somebody could get a foreign substance on a baseball and then multiply that by 100. Because if you think you are Detective Sherlock Holmes and you know the answer, promise you don't. And if you know one, there's 99 other ways that it can happen. And that's the policing of this. That's going to be the challenge, to go out there before the game and say, hey, just want to look. Let me see your forearms clean. Again, let me see your, the back of your neck clean. Let me see your glove clean. Okay, well, they didn't check my belt. They didn't check my hat. They didn't check, whatever it might be, the inside of my mouth. They didn't check my tongue. There's just so many ways. And, now you're trying to play catch up against the cheaters, which is always, always difficult, if not impossible. And you don't have blood testing and you don't have drug testing. You have the ability to grab a baseball. You have the ability to look where you think there might be an issue, and you may be right. There's a good chance you're wrong. Again, you fall back on the integrity. You just hope that this is going to stop, and that Major League Baseball works with the players to come up with, as you said, a solution. We all respect the integrity of baseball. We want an even playing field. We don't need our hitters to get beamed. What will work for everybody in Major League Baseball that will give you the tackiness you feel, but not necessarily give certain guys an advantage? Everybody should have the benefit of a baseball that isn't a cue ball. How do we do that? I hope that's part two, or in conjunction with, I hope that's part of this plan. What do we come up with?
And I think what you just said is exactly right, that the most important part of this is a sport-wide devotion to a level playing field, which, in the case of PEDs, happened when they started drug testing. Because you're right. Yeah. We'd be naive to think that there aren't a bunch of players who managed to find a way to beat the system. But when you put in a sport-wide PED testing system and the Players Association approves it, people in the sport are saying, you know what? We want to keep this clean. We want to do this the right way. And anybody who gets caught, you are going to be responsible for what is found. So in other words, if we do have that rule where every time a pitcher goes to the mound and he is checked, that's essentially saying, okay, guys, anything that's discovered after this, you are personally responsible for, and you are going to pay a big price. And it's interesting, you were talking about the cameras. I wonder if in a week there would be a different context for what we saw in the San Diego and Mets game. And I don't know if you saw this. Yu Darvish, like a lot of pitchers, during the course of the game, the camera caught him where he's moving his pitching hand to a spot in his glove with his pointing finger and his middle finger, and he's rubbing against that spot. And when I saw that, Carl, I said, boy, in a week, that would be the sort of thing that maybe it gets down to the opposing dugout and you got the manager coming out and say, you know what? Go check his glove.
Yep. Yeah, I don't doubt that part of it. I'm sure that's going to happen. But again, what happens too with PEDs, Buster, the penalty became so harsh, A, the individual, but then B, the impact on the team. The pressure, I would hope, that the individual would feel from the collective group, hey, dude, if we lose you for 10 games, that's two starts. That, to me, that is a start. But I think you need to take, again, I hope that penalty becomes greater, because you need the deterrent. You need the salary loss, and you need the deterrent from the team to say, if you do this and we lose you for four starts, that's basically a month's worth of starts from you, or relief efforts from you, we're dead. Like that kills us, and therefore there's 25 other guys on the team. If it's 29 other guys on the team saying, you just screwed me now. Now we run the risk of losing a playoff share, of not making the postseason. Well, that's a problem. So the deterrent, initially of 10 games, in a pitcher's world, from a starter, that's two starts. In a reliever, that's probably three appearances. I know you got to start somewhere. I think the way that the performance-enhancing penalties dramatically increased, I assume that's also in the pipeline, that if this doesn't do enough, we'll see 30-game suspensions, half seasons. Ultimately, you get caught three times and you're out of the game.
And I think they ought to also look at potentially suspending a manager, suspending a pitching coach for give them a similar penalty. Because part of what's going on, and you know this from talking to folks, is that they want to change the cultures within organizations. And yep. So if you have a manager now who goes, well, I don't know what pitcher X is doing. If he knows he's going to get suspended for 10 games, he's going to find out, Carl. It's like the college basketball coach who might look the other way when he doesn't know what's in the envelope going to one of the guys on his team. But if he knows he's going to be held accountable, if one of his players is caught getting money, they're gonna pay attention more. And you might have managers shift that culture, that gentleman's agreement away from, you know what, I'm not involved. I don't know what my guys are doing. I don't want to rock the boat. To now all of a sudden going, boys, we're going to clean this up.
I agree. And look, in the end, Buster, as we talk about this on our games and on our Baseball Tonight Sunday Night Countdown show, you will be able to see, assuming this problem is as rampant and prevalent as suggested, you will be able to see, there will be evidence. What happened to pitcher X's spin rate?
Yep.
Why are they not getting the strikeouts they once did? The question will go from what's wrong with to, oh, that's right, there was a big crackdown. They're not the same as they were through April and May. Why is June different? And again, over a period of time, you will be able to, at least in your own mind, if you're willing to go there, draw the conclusion, well, the reason that they were so good was because of a foreign substance. And that's now it's on them. And that's, unfortunately, that's the arms race in a sense. That's why the person who benefits from illegal substances and the people around them, you know, let's not be naive to think that these pitchers sit in laboratories and devise their own tacky formula. It's those around them who say, hey, I know a way we can beat the system, meaning you as a pitcher and me as a designer, or us as a team. The way we all benefit is we use this or we do this. No one will ever find out, and you'll be able to, you know, be as good a pitcher as there is in baseball. So there's so many different facets to this. It's not as simple as saying cut it out and, you know, and the boys stop stealing cookies from the cookie jar. It doesn't work as simply as that, but there has to be a first step, and I know Major League Baseball is determined to address this aspect of it.
2 minutes, three quick topics. Just give me some quick thoughts this weekend. The first time we have Red Sox and Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball, where do you see these two teams?
I think they're both really good. I think they're both really flawed. I don't think there's a great team in the American League East, and I think it's now going to be, again, as we discuss every year, incumbent on the front offices to decide. In the Yankees' case, we knew we were going to be competitive. What do we do now to help our team? In the Red Sox case, I think there may have been a, wow, we're probably better than we thought we were going to be. Now what are we going to do? And in the Rays case, you know, just be consistent, and you'll see them make those moves that go under the radar that continue to make them good. But nothing dominant about the Red Sox and or Yankees. They are flawed.
Does it feel to you like it does to me, like this was a week of a seismic shift in the National League Central, with the Cubs gaining momentum, moving into first place, and the Cardinals losing Jack Flaherty for an extended period?
Yeah, I mean, the Flaherty injury is one. I think Carlos Martinez came out the next night and was brutal. I would again say that both of those teams are flawed, and this is more of a peak and valley for the Cubs and the Cardinals, as opposed to, I look at the Cubs and think they're infinitely better. Like the AL East, I think those two teams are going to be now in it. I think what I've learned is that the Cubs, again, without Darvish or not, are better than I think I thought they were going to be. And as a result, because there are flaws in the Cardinals, and we'll see what happens with the Brewers moving forward, that yes, the Cubs and Jed Hoyer now need to, you know, gather together again and think, all right, so what are we? We are better than we thought, and we are competitive. We owe it to the player. How do we now improve on a team we likely were prepared to tear down? That was our goal. That was our intent. And uh-oh, that ain't happening, or shouldn't happen.
And give me a 30-second thought on the Royals, who are now two games over 500.
Yeah, I think we have the Royals and the Angels on Wednesday night. And look, the Kansas City Royals are doing things the right way. Dayton has always been a guy that's recognized good talent. He knows the collegiate talent. Their system is really good. They're athletic. They're a little bit kind of reminding you of the World Series teams that were athletic and put pressure on you. They don't just hit bombs. They don't strike out a million guys. But to me, they are what you would call a good, solid baseball team. They won't screw themselves up. And to me, they're only going to get better. Like, you can see them in the next 2 years going out and making a free agent splash. And I think building around and giving Perez, Salvador Perez, that contract was really, really smart. He's a great guy to be the face of your team with a lot of students growing up around him.
And I love the fact that the Royals have made progress without tanking. I mean, that is something that Dayton Moore is absolutely strongly against. And, you know, they've worked their way back from their World Series year to now putting themselves in a position probably next year to contend seriously. All right, Carl, good to talk with you. Thanks for doing this.
All right, Buster. See you Sunday.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes. The clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
We're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world, or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. Todd, how are you doing this week?
Doing well, Buster. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. I'm fascinated, like a lot of folks, about what's going on with Cleveland with the team name. And so before we get to this week's Forgotten Franchise and next week's quiz, I want to ask you about this. According to what the team released yesterday, it now is a final list of possibilities after nearly 1,200 entrants into the pool of names that they're considered for their next nickname. In December, you know, it looks like the Indians, or last December, they announced that they're going to change for the upcoming season. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, tell us what your recommendation among the possibilities you've heard might be.
Well, Buster, everybody keeps gravitating back towards spiders, and you know, there seems to be a lot of appeal to that. You and I have talked about this before. You know, who knows? I think that you know, what our wants and likes are and what will actually emerge from this process are probably two very different things, because we all have lawyers in our lives and we like some of them, but they are tenacious about defending their trademarks. And I think in this case, it's going to be a battle royale to see what can, you know, can get out of the trademark process.
So that said, if there was no lawyers involved, what name just interests you the most? Or you're like, you know what? That one I think makes the most sense.
All right. I'm going to eliminate a couple of things, Buster. First and foremost, I'm just going to one more time go on the record and say no spiders. I don't want spiders. Spiders is 1899. It's 19th century. It's a forgotten franchise. You know, let's go with something new. Let us also say that according to every human being that I know who lives in Cleveland, they do not want to have anything having to do with rock and roll. So rockers, throw it out. Cleveland 45, 78s, throw them out. Get them out of here. So what are you left with? I keep gravitating towards something having to do with the lake. And the lake has always been there. It will always be there. Dennis Oil Can Boyd famously said, who would put a Major League Baseball stadium next to an ocean? That's how vast this thing is. So I don't know, Buster. I kind of like it would probably have to have some negotiation attached. But I keep coming back in my mind to the idea of sea captains or commodores or something nautical. And your alma mater comes to mind. But, you know, something have give me something to do with the lake.
OK. Well, maybe they, you know, call the franchise in Burlington and say, hey, what's the Lake Monsters trademark worth to you? You know, potentially that I've always enjoyed that name. You know, now that that franchise has changed, maybe they'd be more open to that. You know, and you mentioned Vanderbilt Commodores. That's an interesting one. But yeah, we're sometime in the next 6 months, it'll be interesting to see what they unveil. All right. What's this week's forgotten franchise?
All right, Buster, here we go. This week's forgotten franchise. In 1914, the upstart Federal League challenged the established American and National Leagues by declaring itself a third major league. So that year, the circuit placed a team in Brooklyn, which represented the fourth big league club in New York City, along with the Yankees, Giants, and Dodgers. The club was owned by millionaire baker Robert Ward, who named them after his flagship product, Tip Top Bread, which was described in ads as, quote, the supreme clean, healthful loaf. The Brooklyn Tip Tops competed for two seasons before the Federal League folded, going 77-77 in 1914 and 70-84 in 1915. But the team, Buster, is noteworthy for a couple of reasons. First off, on September 19th, 1914, Brooklyn's Ed Lafitte threw the only no-hitter in Federal League history, beating the Kansas City Packers 6-2. Second is the Tip Top's ballpark, Washington Park, which was built on the site of the Brooklyn Dodgers' previous home, one that had been vacated in favor of brand new state-of-the-art Ebbets Field in 1913. Located in the borough's Park Slope neighborhood, this ballpark stood on hallowed ground atop where the Revolutionary War's Battle of Brooklyn was fought in 1776. The Federal League's Washington Park was constructed of steel and concrete, and a piece of it still exists today on 3rd Avenue, Buster, right across the street from the Brooklyn Roots Veterinary Hospital. You can see a 20-foot-high brick wall with a series of arched windows that have been bricked over, and it currently marks the boundary of a Con Edison truck depot. This wall was part of a left-center field at Washington Park, which was demolished in 1926. One final note. Late in September 1915, the club installed five 80-foot-tall light towers in the hopes of playing games at night. The clock ran out on the Tip Tops and the Federal League, but the ballpark did host a semi-pro game under the lights the following month. So what I'm trying to say here, Buster, is that if the Federal League had made it to the 1916 season, the Tip Tops would have hosted night games, which would not be attempted in the majors until the Reds did it in 1935. And thus concludes the tale of this week's forgotten franchise, the Brooklyn Tip Tops.
So it's well established on the show that I have no taste whatsoever. But I am curious to see if you have the same instinct that I do. And then I think that the Tip Tops might be the single worst name we've seen for a professional franchise other than the Utah Jazz. I'm not talking about the New Orleans Jazz. I'm talking about the Utah Jazz.
Well,
what's your feel?
Well, Buster, we just talked about what the Cleveland American League franchise can be. Tip Tops, I think, exceeds the Utah Jazz. But then again, winning, Buster, winning takes care of a multitude of perceived ills. I mean, the Los Angeles Lakers, who lost last night in the first round, have as many NBA championships as anybody. And yet, I've been to Los Angeles. I know you have, too. There aren't a ton of lakes there. So give me Tip Tops if the team is winning. And, go with it.
A fair point. And the Lakers being my favorite basketball team when I was growing up. And, of course, as you well know, they started in Minnesota. All right. Speaking of winning, let's get to this week's quiz, which I am winning by a significant margin. Taylor?
Buster? I guess so. I think the streak ends this week, guys.
Okay.
Pray for me.
Let's do it.
Week 12, guys. This player is the youngest player to hit 50 home runs in a single season. Is it A, Aaron Judge? Is it B, Prince Fielder? Is it C, Pete Alonso? Or is it D, the great Willie Mays? The youngest major league player to hit 50 home runs in a single season. Aaron Judge, Prince Fielder, Pete Alonso, or Say Hey Willie?
Wow. That's a great question.
Well, thank you.
Boy, I'm used to the caps, the gloves, the different things on, different elements of uniforms, and you came out with a pure Jason Stark type baseball question. Go ahead, Taylor. Who you got?
Yikes. I'm leaning towards either one of the New York guys, Aaron Judge or Pete Alonso. Let's go Aaron Judge.
And there was a third New York guy in that mix.
Oh, pardon me.
Willie Mays.
Ah, of course.
Would have been with the New York Giants, and that would be my choice.
You are both wrong, because the correct answer would be Prince Fielder.
Oh man.
Prince Fielder was 23 years old when he hit his 50th home run in 2007. Aaron Judge, a relatively elderly 25, Pete Alonso, and Willie Mays, for that matter, both 24. So we end this week in a stalemate as we turn the corner toward the All-Star break soon enough.
Yeah, I think if this were the SAT at this point, I think both Taylor and I would be saying to ourselves, yeah, I'm going to have to take this again.
Absolutely.
But you ran up an early lead here. So,
I ran up an early lead, but it's my streak of incorrect answers is growing now to a significant number. I want to say it's up to 5, and I have to change that next week and turn things around. So I'm going to go into some serious trivia workout mode over the weekend.
I can't wait.
All right, Todd, thank you.
All right, guys, thanks so much.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for a Friday. First up, we have Regina Wilson at Margarita Noir. She writes in, is Gabe Kapler looking like the front runner for NL Manager of the Year?
Regina, I second that. Let's face it, the formula for Manager of the Year is always surprising team that's not a big spending team, right? And I think that certainly the Giants fit that bill, that they are a very surprising team. I think they're the biggest surprise in baseball. So, yeah, he's in there. And I think our old friend David Ross, if the Cubs continue to climb, I think he's going to be in the conversation.
Next up, we have Lewis Adio Weiss at @Adio_Lewis00. Lewis writes in, with him no longer being a productive player, do you think the Tigers will move on from Miguel Cabrera immediately following his 3,000th hit and 5,000th home run milestones? With 2 years left on his deal beyond 2021, Miggy's become a liability in Detroit.
I can't see them releasing him in the middle of a season. So, if he hits both those milestones this year, we'll see how it goes. Then, yeah, maybe the offseason they would have that conversation. But if he's short and then next year, one of those milestones is still out there for him to get, then I think at the end of 2022, that becomes legitimate conversation.
And last one for the week, Brendan Devine at @BDevine1715 writes in, what do you think the chances are that Major League Baseball's reported impending crackdown on pitchers using foreign substances will have on offenses across the league?
I think it's going to help offenses. There's no look, you watch a game, and I've had this conversation with players, with staffers. You watch a game, there are times when you see breaking pitches, or you see incredible spin rate on a fastball, and you're like, come on. like it's, you're wondering how in the world hitters do what they do, how they even have a chance. If you eliminate that crazy unbelievable stuff for some of these pitchers who maybe have gone from being mediocre to great, it's going to help offenses. No doubt about it.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets for the week. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter as you're watching games over the weekend. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it for today. That's it for this week. My thanks to Carl, to Todd, to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Requires Gemini device and additional paid subscriptions to watch Netflix and other third-party apps. Terms and restrictions apply.